Welcome to Life Quest, a program that directs you to subjects and books that will make a difference in your life, a program that will make you think and strengthen your journey of faith in the 21st century. My name is Dwight Lainhoff. Today on Life Quest, I'm talking with Roger Hernandez. He's the director, ministerial, and evangelism of the Southern Union of Seventh-day Adventists. Today, Roger, we're going to talk about your book called Epic Fail. Welcome to Life Quest.
Thank you very much. I am very happy and grateful to have this privilege to share about Epic Fail with all your listeners.
Why did you write this book at this time?
I wrote the book because failure, even though we associate or we like to associate ourselves with success, you know, we name our kids Victory and Victoria.
Yeah.
If we're honest with ourselves, we experience more failures than we like to admit. So I just wanted to have a practical resource that people can read and say, okay, if I'm going through a period of time where I'm not accomplishing what I set out to do, how do I deal with it?
Through the years, and you're dealing with people in a number of different geographic areas and situations, you find that a common thread, that we all have failures in our lives.
Yes, we all have problems. We all have failures. It doesn't matter, you know, Spanish, English, African American. Doesn't matter if you're in a nuclear family or a single mother. There are some common threats as humans that we deal with, and one of those things that, you know, everybody has failed at some point in their life, and sometimes that failure lasts for a season, and how to deal with that is key to turning that failure into success.
Roger, sometimes I've noted that we don't always learn from the failures, but you say there's some lessons to be learned.
Yes. I think that if a failure, if when you fail, you learn a lesson from the failure, that failure stops being a failure and becomes, by definition, a lesson.
Mm-hmm.
So the problem is not necessarily that we failed, but that we failed to learn the lesson from the failure.
Okay.
So, you know, if I hit my... They say that the definition of crazy is to do the same things over and over, expecting different results.
Right.
If I hit my... hand with a hammer the first time is going to hurt. If I hit it 100 times, it's going to hurt.
Yeah.
So we seem to know that in some areas of our life, but some other areas, relationships is one. You know, we tend to keep going back to the same people that have hurt us once and once again.
I've noticed that in talking with people who've come to me about their relationships. I said to one lady who was highly successful in her professional life, and yet in her personal life, not so much. And I said, you know, if you're attracted to this particular man, you need to run. If you're not attracted, maybe there's hope for you, because she kept falling in the same rut.
I think that we should believe people when they reveal to us the first time. So if somebody comes across as belligerent or over jealous, or even physically violent, you know, one of the things that we do, we keep doing the same thing over and over, expecting different results.
Right.
The person that's already shown you how they are, believe them, you know.
Yeah.
and everybody that comes into your life either makes you more of what God intended you to be, or makes you less of what God intended you to be. And some people just add value to our lives. Some people take value from our lives. So I'm in charge of what kind of relationships I have. I can choose those. There's other things in life that I can't choose. You know, I can't choose where I was born and what kind of parents I had, you know. But I can choose what relationships I have right now.
In your book, Epic Fail, Reasons, Opportunities, and Reactions, you really start out by talking about why, the reasons for failure. And you start out, reason number one is disconnecting. And tell our listeners, disconnecting from whom or what?
Well, I think as a foundational principle, you know, I'm a believer. I believe in God. And I think success. God wants to bless us. I believe that God loves us. I believe sometimes the way he gets there is not the way that we would want to. But I think that when we disconnect from God, we might not experience failure immediately, but eventually it will lead us to failure, because it's like not having a GPS. Mm-hmm. You know, you might know where you're going, but eventually you get lost. It's like having a cell phone. The moment you disconnect it from the wall,
right?
You can still use it, but eventually the bars are going to disappear and you won't be able. So I think disconnected from God is foundational in order for you to see. So if I will tell a listener this, that it's listening right now. If you have a season in your life where you feel that failure, everything you touch, instead of turning to gold, turns to dust. The first place I would go is and analyze would be, how's my relationship with God?
Another reason you suggest is that we end up taking shortcuts.
Yeah, I think that shortcuts. The Bible says that, you know, that when you take shortcuts, it ends in failure. I believe there are some things in life you can't rush, and we should move at the speed of God. If God is running, we should be running. If God is walking, we should be walking. If God is stopped, we should be stopped.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes there are some things in life you can't rush. You can't, you know, I see people saying, you know, I got to get married because I'm lonely. I'm saying,
right.
if you're lonely, get a dog, but don't rush into a relationship.
Yeah.
You know, rushing into financial decisions, rushing into purchasing. The reason why many people in North America are struggling financially is we've taken shortcuts.
Mm-hmm.
We think we can live, you know, beyond our means, and it's going to be okay, and it's not. It ends up in failure.
Where does pride come into all this?
Solomon, a Bible writer, says that pride comes before the fall. I think the three most dangerous words in the English language is "I already know."
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the truth is, the more you study a subject, the more you understand how little you know about the subject.
Okay.
So when you think that you're an island, that you know that, you know, who's going to teach you? You're not a teachable person. You think you're able to do it on your own. Who needs anybody else? You're setting yourself up for failure, because
mm-hmm.
the world, except for that, you know, a small, minuscule exception, is composed of other people. So we need other people. We can't think we know it all. We can do it all on our own.
You suggest in part two of your book that there are some actual opportunities that can arise when we find ourselves in a failed situation.
Yes, I mentioned three things. One is an opportunity that failure affords us is that failure reveals our problems. It's like a spotlight in an area of our life that God is saying, listen, check this out. Pay attention to this. When we fail in an area, it's a great moment. I think we learn more about life from failures than successes. Sometimes successes only make us prideful.
Mm-hmm.
I think when we fail and we sit down and we say, okay, why did I fail? Is it because I disconnected from God? Is it because of shortcuts? Is it because of pride? What is it? What were the things that led me here? I think it can grow us to another level. So that's an opportunity that failure affords us.
Okay.
Another opportunity is that failure sometimes connects us to people that would not have otherwise come into our lives if we hadn't failed.
If we're willing to turn to them.
It's correct. One of the greatest failures I had, I wanted to marry a young lady, and before we got there, she broke up with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, this is the end of my life. I was really struggling, feeling like a failure.
Right.
But it was in that time that I met who is now my wife of 20
mm-hmm.
years,
mm-hmm.
which has been the greatest gift God has given me. But I have to keep my eyes open, because God would always send me people to help me to deal with my failures. But I have to be able to be open to people to help me. And sometimes when we fail, since our pain is so raw, we don't want to hear it. You know, I just don't want to hear it right now. But we have to hear it because people were sent into our lives to help us grow from the failure to the next level.
And sometimes timing is important. I've noticed some people use connections with people who can help them as the last resort, and it may be a little late.
That is correct. That is correct.
Now, you say that failure helps to understand and claim God's promises. Bible's full of promises.
Yes, Bible's full of promises, and I think I would put it this way. There wouldn't be any promises unless there were failures, because promises are God's responses to failures. If you know, if the people of Israel, just use a biblical example, were not slaves in Israel, in Egypt, God would not have promised them freedom. I mean, you don't need to promise freedom to somebody who's already free.
Yes.
You need to promise fertility to somebody who can have kids.
Mm-hmm.
So promises are God's responses to our failures. So the reason the promises are in the Bible is that for everything that we might be going through, there's a promise we can claim. And something we can hold on that can give us hope and say, you know, I might have failed, but I am not a failure. Failure, I've experienced it, but it doesn't need to define me.
I'll be back in just a moment. I'm Dwight Lainhoff.
Joining us today on Life Quest, here is host Dwight Lainhoff.
We've talked about the why we sometimes fail because of disconnect and because of pride, because we take shortcuts. And then in part two, you talked about opportunities that we can actually get from failure. But now in part three of your book, how we react to failure seems to be so important, isn't it? And you suggest actually four reactions that can come from a failed situation.
The first reaction, and I think the most natural, so you know, I've been there too. I don't blame people. The first reaction to failure is to quit.
Mm-hmm.
To, you know, because failure produces pain, and nobody, you know, most people are not masochists. They don't like pain. So the first reaction is something's failing in our marriage. You know, I get divorced. Something's failing in a relationship. I in a church. I leave. There's something that's not going right in whatever area. The easiest thing is to quit and go somewhere else and do something else. So quitting is a very natural response to pain. But it might not be the best reaction. And sometimes we do need to disconnect, but quitting might not be the best response. Because what that does is when you're able to work through a failure and come out on the other side, you're stronger for it. But if you quit in the beginning, there's no resistance.
Mm-hmm.
Your faith muscles are not built.
Reaction number two is blame, searching around for whose fault it is.
Yes, you know, if you look in the news and you see people in, you know, in our society right now, there's a lot of blame game. Nobody wants to accept responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
It's my mom's fault. It's my parents' divorce. It's the other party. It's the government's fault.
Yeah.
Sometimes we even blame the devil for something that
right. That
we did to ourselves.
Yeah, devil made me do it.
Yeah. So it's, you know, it's easy to quit, and it's easier to blame.
Yeah.
Because you know, then I don't have to accept that maybe the reason why I'm a mess is because of my personal decisions that I've made. And I think that when we have an honest look in a mirror and say, hey, you know, maybe the reason I'm going on my third marriage is not because I just keep finding losers. Maybe what kind of signals am I sending that I'm attracting people into my life that are not going to bring any positive things to me?
And when we blame others, we have a hard time learning the lessons that need to be learned.
That is correct.
Talking with a couple of people recently who's were unsuccessful in their jobs, and the list of whose fault it was tremendous. I was pretty impressed with it, but they themselves were not on the list.
Yeah.
Okay. The next point is rebel. What does that mean?
The third thing that we can do as a third reaction that we can have is to rebel, and that's a little bit like blaming, but it has more to do with God.
Okay.
And to say and to tell God, listen, you love me, but this bad thing happened to me. Therefore, you don't love me. Therefore, I'm going to act out.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to rebel against what you, the plans you have for my life. And that's a direct reaction towards God. And you see people acting out, saying, why should I, stay close to God if he's not allowing good things to happen into my life? If God is so good, why is all these bad things happening to me?
Yeah. Therefore, I'll rebel against God and go my own way.
Exactly.
The best reaction seems to be number four, which is to grow.
Correct. And I think that's, that's the key. There is a great text in the book of Philippians where Paul is telling us two key things. He says, I let go of the past, or I forget what is behind, and I press on.
Mm-hmm.
Those are two powerful decisions. Number one, to let go of the past. Stop driving, look into the rearview mirror, and seeing all the stuff. Your best days, you have to believe your best days are ahead of you.
Right.
And the other one is to keep moving. I mean, you fell down, but failure doesn't define you. It's something that happened, but it's not who you are. You get up and you move again, and you keep striving and you keep going, because there's a prize in front of us, and we have to always have to keep the purpose in front of us, the reason why we do what we do. And failure will help us grow, and not only to grow ourselves, but to help other people to grow around us too, as they see how we've dealt with that failure in our lives.
Towards the back part of your book, Epic Fail, you have an appendix which is really it's called Epic Win, a Bible study. How do you want people to use this?
Well, I just I'm very interested in connecting the Word of God, the Scripture, with real life. I think that the Bible should come with handles. In other words, you should be able to read something that's in Scripture and apply it to what you're going through in your life. So I just picked specific topics that I myself are interested in, people that I know are interested in, and people in general struggle with. How to recover, dating, sex, friends, money, rest, trials, Jesus, the resurrection. There's topics in there that people are interested in, how does my life connect with what God has to say? When those two things connect, it's a wonderful thing, because you see it clearly. Okay, so this is how Scripture can help me.
And so, in fact, you've got a lesson, you've got things for them to look up in Scripture, to write down their reactions, things like that, to what, direct people through their situation?
We start with a passage in Scripture, then we read... from that passage, we have some questions that we answer, and then we apply them to our lives.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just that God is love, but what does that mean for me? What is some words that have been written in a book, hundreds, thousands of years ago? What does that have to do with what I'm going through right now with my kids and my spouse and my job and my self-esteem? and the failures that I'm going in my life. So the first part of the book was, okay, this is some practical advice, and then the last part of the book, here's some biblical things that can help you grow on the other side.
The book is Epic Fail: Reasons, Opportunities, Reaction. The author is Roger Hernandez. Roger, where can our listeners get a copy of this book?
I think the easiest thing is just to email me.
Okay.
And my email address is very simple. It's R, the first letter of my first name, R, and then Hernandez, at SouthernUnion.com.
R. Hernandez at SouthernUnion.com. Roger, thanks for being with us today on LifeQuest.
I am very grateful, and thank you very much for having me.
Thanks for listening to LifeQuest today. If you have questions or comments, you may send them to lifequest@lifetalk.net or write to LifeQuest at P.O. Box 33082, Knoxville, Tennessee 37930.